morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Together on this Wednesday. Woo-hoo. May 13th already. Can you hardly believe it? Oh my goodness. So glad to have you along. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. Our studio line is 503-589-1220. Would love to talk to you. If you have something to talk to us about, we'd love to have you call in. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio KSLM. I'm Stacy Ann and want to remind you, you can follow us on Facebook at KSLM Radio or online live at KSLM.news. It's only appropriate that we start out this way. Love it. What a great way to start our day. And looking at our regional news today, we want to thank Bill Sunderland with Country Financial Sunderland Agency, 503-885-0789 for sponsoring our news. And there is a lot of news going on right now. Most exciting is the 15th of May. They're opening up retail across the whole state of Oregon. This is good news for many of us who've been looking forward to something other than just the little grocery market, right, down the street. And so that's happening. And our county, I just want to commend our county commissioners and our city leaders and all the folks that are working really, really hard. The very top line of the Statesman Journal this morning talks about Polk and Marion counties apply to reopen Friday. And when you look at this article, it's very interesting because it actually says that we got our application in before they were even accepting applications in. And it was a little confusing because a lot of the headlines coming out of Portland and the mainstream media was like, oh, well, Marion hasn't even applied yet. Well, we applied before we were able to apply. And I want to commend our commissioners, and we're continuing to watch that to see exactly when our county will open up for all the rest of the services. And continuing on in the effort to educate you, our listener, on who's running for our local offices. We know it's so very important to be informed, educated, and empowered so we can make the best decision. And of course, I've hit this drum pretty hard that it's important to know our candidates and know how they line up according to our values. And we've had lots of candidates on the show over the last week and a half. And today I'm so honored to have our local city council candidates on. In fact, today, starting out right out of the chute, is our city councilor, Brad Nanke. So glad to have you here today in the studio with me. Thank you for getting up early and talking to us a little bit about what's going on in the city council and why you're going back and wanting to do it again. And so thank you, Brad, for being here.
Thank you so much. 20 years is a long time.
Yes, you've been on since.
I was going to actually retire, and a lot of things changed from the day I made that announcement until I finally turned in paperwork again.
Yes.
Actually, there were some great candidates for the other open positions that came in as well. Council did some things that I really wasn't happy about. They passed an operating fee without asking the voters.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, the homeless problem downtown went crazy.
Right.
And council kept just slowly trotting along. Meanwhile, business was being damaged. People couldn't get their shopping done. They were scared to be in our city.
Right.
Which is a travesty. Right. And people are living in horrible conditions out there on the sidewalks under awnings.
Yes.
And so I put my name back in.
And so you started back in 2001?
2001. I ran for election in 2000.
And it's interesting because here in Salem, and maybe that's the case in many city councils across Oregon, it's a volunteer position.
It is.
Yes.
Even the mayor is volunteering. A lot of people don't realize that. It's like, oh, they're just padding their pockets. No, it's a money loss.
Right. It's a sacrifice. Your time, talent, and treasure. You're putting yourself in these positions to help your community. Why do you do that?
I was raised to be a servant.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a small child, I would go to the county health facility with my mother and visit people who had no one.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a big aunt in our church. And so I was raised in a religious household. And you know, my mother's almost a saint. You speak bad about no one. And
right.
I can get along with anyone. And, you know, even on council, we have differences of opinion. But, you know, the people are all nice people. We just disagree on politics.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't take things personally
right.
at that level. And some people can't sit in that position because it just – they hold on to those things, and it's like, no, next issue.
Right, and this is very interesting right here in Salem. What I've noticed, I've come back, I've been back since mid-January, getting familiar with the politics here in this town. Your position, not only as a volunteer, but it's supposed to be nonpartisan. But what I'm seeing play out before my eyes, particularly in this campaign season, is I'm seeing some people lining up in partisan ways, and it is very much influenced in a partisan way, but it's a nonpartisan position representing the city of Salem, correct?
Correct. And the one big thing about that nonpartisanship is the primary election determines who your city councilor will be, which is why it is so important not to sit out the primary.
Right. Yes, you need to get that vote, get that ballot filled out and in. And we're almost getting to that point now where to mail it in, you should drop it off, right? You should get it
a week from right now, everyone will know who their city councilor is.
Correct. Correct. And so it's there's no messing around. You have to get that in,
yes.
make that decision, and decide who you want on that city council. Why is it so important to have good decision makers, good leaders at the city council level?
We have the ability to affect people's lives much more than they realize.
Right.
Everybody always sits there and screams about the president and Congress. But meanwhile, I can tell you if you can have chickens, how high your fence can be, how much money you have to give me without asking you as well. You don't see your Fed taxes necessarily just go boom, boom, boom. But city council has the ability to interact with you on a daily basis.
Right.
And as counselors, we're the closest government to the public, and they can talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, and in my local supermarket.
Yes.
It's like, hey, I could be back in 10 minutes or an hour and a half.
Well, and I am a firm believer in local control, too, for that very reason. You can influence. You can talk. You're living with your neighbors. And so city council position is extremely important. What are the issues that you're focusing on when you're reelected? What are your main issues?
Homelessness is the big one,
mm-hmm.
And it's on the top of everyone's list as well. We need to continue putting together services with the social service providers in town. We need to keep building shelter beds,
mm-hmm.
Services to assist people. Some people, you know, they aren't ready to be helped. And so what do you do with that group?
Because mm-hmm.
those are the ones that move around typically and are visible to people. And we keep trying. And the more times you can interact with these people, the more potential you have. But we have to deal with that population, and council had been really unwilling to deal with those people. The police department, the police chief came and asked us for some tools to deal with inappropriate behaviors downtown, and council elected not to do that, saying we were criminalizing humanity. But as soon as you don't have any rule, that word spreads. I mean, I've went out and served meals in the parks. And the word spreads through the homeless community very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And when they hear, hey, we don't have any rules, it's like
anything goes pretty much.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I worked as an intern.
And we saw that blossom.
Yes. I worked as an intern in San Francisco in 1989 with the homeless. And what I learned there was shocking. Some choose to be there.
Yeah.
They want to be there. They, even though services are available and all this help. And so how do you handle that? And that's really what you're up against right now. Yes, there are some who are there. There's housing. There's a huge housing crisis in this area, before COVID-19. And certainly now after COVID-19, we're going to have to look at that. But there are people who choose to live that way. They want to be off the grid, per se. And how do we handle that? So having boundaries. And that really is the city council's responsibility, instead of kicking the can down the road, is what some people are saying has been happening, right?
It is. We have to have compassion for these people. We also have to have compassion for our businesses and our employees.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of just overlooked that element. So that was one of the reasons I hopped back. It's like, oh my God, people are afraid to go downtown. Mm-hmm. It's like people are living on block faces.
Right.
People are trying to sell buildings and find new tenants.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them just said, no, don't even fly in.
It's a real challenge. And also the third bridge is another thing. Is that something that's interesting, something you want to see move forward?
Yes, and that was probably one of my biggest disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
Last year when council elected to not move forward with that. I talked to the ODOT people after that hearing, and they said, if you get a pro-bridge council, we're willing to turn it back on and update some findings. And so when I saw the other people who were running, mm-hmm. knowing that – and this is going to be a very close election on how the majority of council looks come mm-hmm. the turn of the year.
Right.
And I could not sit that out.
Right, right.
Knowing that I could be the difference.
Right. And so you stepped up again, and
yep.
here you go with your experience and your expertise and understanding the issues over the last 20 years. Another thing that you're facing is COVID-19 now. There's going to be some budget things and looking at that as you move into this next term.
There is, and a lot of that is how we help the community or how we not help them, how we stay out of their way.
Right.
And, you know, our budget's not really going to be that impacted that
mm-hmm.
we can see right now. There's mm-hmm. some transient occupancy tax dollars, so because people aren't staying in the hotels.
Right.
Gas taxes because people haven't been driving as much. So there'll
right.
be a couple of pieces in the budget that are affected. Overall, I think we're looking really good.
Mm-hmm.
We're finishing up our budget committee tonight and hopefully tonight and not having to go through to next weekend. But, a lot of that is how we get out of the way, let people recover, use those reserves that we have and that we can actually utilize to help pick people back up again, but stay out of their way mostly.
Right, right. Like, allow them to live. You know, in this COVID-19, I think people have been so afraid of catching the disease that they've stopped living. And now we're looking at how can we reengage and allow and come alongside people so they can open up their businesses and live. You know, the city council's role is to protect, right? You have an opportunity there to set some boundaries and some guidelines and protect, but you're also there to promote. And I love that at your service, you know, that the spirit of even your website, you know, at the city level is really, it shows for people coming into the community, we're here for you. We really want to make this work.
Yeah. And our staff is great.
Yeah.
I originally got involved in council because the city wasn't being great to me and a bunch of my neighbors. And so I got involved. And, you know, we have to hold them accountable as well, just like the voters hold us accountable. Bureaucracy tends to run on its own, and it needs oversight.
Well, when we come back after this break, Brad, I want you to talk to me a little bit about campaigning during this season. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in on this wonderful Wednesday. I'm Stacey Ann, and we're continuing the conversation with City Councilor Brad Nanke. We're talking about re-election and why it's so important to know who your elected officials are. Elections have consequences. And my friend, if you think your vote doesn't count, I found out the other day the very first time Kate Brown was elected, she was elected by 7 votes. That's what I heard. Yes. And so votes do make a difference, and we need you to vote, and we need you to understand who our candidates are. If you're in Salem, We're excited to provide information about candidates today at the city council level. And Brad Nanke, we were talking about the issues that are important to you. And something that I'm really curious about, moving back to Salem after being gone, I was really shocked that some of the transportation challenges, particularly getting over to West Salem, I remember in high school, the challenges there. Tell me a little bit about, you alluded to it in the first segment about the bridge. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, and the big thing with that is people are saying, well, we aren't sure if this is the right place for this. And yeah, I support a bridge, but not necessarily there. I've been, since my first term, involved in this process to get it to the point we're at right now. It is a humongous federal project, and you can't just go pick a new place.
Right.
We spent over 14 years identifying that one location, and you can't just move it, or you start that whole process over again. There's an environmental impact statement draft, and then the final is what we're actually trying to get right now, which is just the license to build the bridge. And then you're talking another 10 years at least to you know, acquire the funding through the state and the federal government as well. So if you start over, we're 30 years away from a bridge again.
Well, and not only that.
And they said they wouldn't even – they were highly likely to – if we said we want to start this again – for a new location. It's like, well, we just burned $8 million.
That's what I was going to ask.
And they didn't seem too happy to actually start the process over again, knowing that, you know, a council down the road again could say, no, we don't like that one either.
So having sat on a local water board years and years ago, even to get water in our area where I lived in South Dakota, it took about 12 years of prep time to even get to that point and be able to even ask for the funds and the grants and all of those things. So the $8 million spent basically has said, okay, here's your plan. This is what you need to do. Move forward.
And hundreds of hours of volunteers as well, because it's the city of Salem, the city of Kaiser, Marion County, Polk County, our surrounding communities. That bridge is a regional transportation structure. It is not city of Salem.
Right.
It just happens to be in the city of Salem. So we get kind of final say on a lot of things. But we worked with that task force for over a decade.
Give and take.
And then to have someone just take it away is unconscionable.
Well, it's time to move that forward. It sounds like that project, and by having the right folks on the council to move that forward, that'd be a good thing for Salem, it sounds like. So you are still meeting. You're still having your meetings. You're meeting by Zoom. You're meeting by telephone, all of those kinds of things. How is the citizens of Salem, how are they able to stay in tune of what's going on? I know that usually there's like a TV station, and they broadcast, you know, your meetings and things. What's happening?
They still do, and they're broadcasting the Zoom meetings.
Okay, good.
And the city council meetings are also streamed on Facebook as well, and I know a lot of people actually follow those on live streaming on Facebook, and there's this continuous chat that I wish we could actually see at times, but you know, you could probably become overwhelmed with that. But it's really hard for citizens right now, as we were talking during the break regarding the homeless issue over in Cascades Gateway Park. There's a manufactured home park right next to it, and we received numerous, probably in the 30 range, communications from people over there. And they wanted to come down and talk to council because they were really upset.
Right.
They were having their fences cut.
Mm-hmm.
They're having theft, people on their porches.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a 55 and older community.
Right.
And so, you know, they weren't really very happy about it. And to write a letter to council doesn't hold this same level as coming down with an emotion runs away as soon as I stick a pen to a paper.
It's hard to express on a piece of paper what you're really feeling and the threat and how people are looking at this. And so even though, and I'd say to our listeners, even though we might not see it as we drive around, the homelessness, it hasn't gone away.
No.
These people are challenged and they have needs, and we have a responsibility to make sure that we can connect with them and know what their opportunities are to improve their situation. And this is something that we will have to face as a city.
You have to really walk deep because a lot of them don't want to be seen.
Right.
And so you really have to walk deep in. We toured the park with the police chief and staff a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And truly amazing.
Yes.
Some people will not even go into those areas. And that's why we had the chief of police and another officer with us as well.
We happened upon it. We happened upon the Cascade area, Cascade Locks. Or no, what's it called?
Cascade Gateway.
The pond there and stuff. Yeah. We happened upon it because I'm new to the area and I was looking at fishing. And I remember that place as a kid playing softball
and
picnicking.
It's a beautiful park.
Beautiful park along the freeway. And I was shocked at all the people that were living in their cars. I'm like, what's going on? And then I found out that that was one of the areas they could be in. And I didn't feel threatened. Of course, I have a background. I mean, I was a little challenge a little bit, but I was just more concerned about what's going on here until I learned they could be there. So campaigning right now is a challenge, I'm sure, and trying to meet with people, hear their ideas, what they want, what their needs are. How do people get a hold of you right now if they want to talk to you about your campaign, support you in your campaign? What's the best way to connect with you today?
BradNanke.com is the fastest way to get to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives links out to Facebook and phone contact information as well. But Brad Nanke is real easy. That's my name, BradNanke.com. As far as going out and making contact, donating, still mm-hmm. you know, a week left.
Yes.
A lot of the way we're communicating out there is with mailers, phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
The you know, I like knocking on people's doors and talking to them. That's talking about issues.
The good old-fashioned way of campaigning, right?
Yeah.
So I know where I come from, people stand on the side of the road and wave. Is that allowed here? Do people do that in campaigns?
Wave signs?
Wave signs,
yeah.
And say hello right before the election day?
I was actually doing that late last week.
All right. So look for Brad out and about waving at you as you drive by, reminding you to vote. Get that voter in. Get your vote in.
And read your voter pamphlet.
Read the pamphlet.
And vote.
Yes. Brad Nanke is also endorsed by the Oregon Right to Life. That's something good to know. Thank you, Brad, for your time, for joining us today.
BradNanke.com.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this.